Animals Today Radio is made possible in part by a generous grant from International Society for Animal Rights, ISARonline.org. To Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Have you ever thought about what would happen to your dog or cat if you died? Now, I know it can be a little uncomfortable to think about planning after you're gone, but do you know for sure who would be capable and responsible for caring for them? Have you had discussions with friends and family about this? Or are you just hiding your head in the sand and assuming that it'll somehow work out? Unfortunately, if you're like most people, you probably haven't given this matter enough attention. And really, don't you want to make sure that your dog or cat is going to be safe and secure after you're gone? Well, our guest today is going to educate us so we know what steps to take to provide for our dogs and cats when we are no longer here to care for them. Frances Carlisle is a trusts and estates attorney practicing in New York City. She has written articles and is a frequent lecturer on the topic of estate planning for the care of animals, including four New York area law schools. Welcome to the program, Frances.
Thank you for having me.
Frances, explain the main reasons why we need to plan for the care of our companion animals in our wills.
Well, dogs, cats, and other companion animals can and do end up in shelters because there is no one willing and able to take them after the owner dies. And so estate planning is really needed for the care of these pets, for their protection. You know, today pets are really family members. They're legally property, but they're really family members, and many people care a great deal about their companion animals and are concerned about what will happen to them in the future.
How often do dogs and cats end up in shelters because the failure of their guardians to plan ahead? Is that common?
I think it is. I don't have the statistics, but I did a program for a news program a few years ago, and I was interviewed, and then they interviewed the director of the shelter of the New York Humane Society in New York City, and that director said that week alone they had five animals that were surrendered to the shelter because the owners had died. So that gives you a sense of how many across the country must be surrendered every day because the owner has died and there is no one to take them and no planning was done for their care.
And then we all know what happens when animals end up at shelters. Many of them get euthanized because there's not homes for them.
Yes, I mean, a lot of them get euthanized. Some may get adopted, but it's very uncertain. A lot of people who pass away have elderly animals. They may have health issues. I mean, they're a lot less likely to get adopted.
Frances, would you say that most people who have companion animals fail to seriously provide for them in their estate plan?
Yes, I think most do fail, but I think it's the fault of the attorneys who do estate planning because it's just not part of their routine to ask about animals and to make plans for their animals. I mean, there's a whole tradition of very careful estate planning for family members, for children and other relatives, for charities and so on, but there isn't this tradition of making a plan for the care of companion animals, and that needs to change.
Yeah, why do you think that is? Why don't the attorneys provide these services as much as they should? I mean, I find it shocking and disappointing that they don't, actually.
Well, you know, some do, but I think it just hasn't been, it's not something that they were taught in law school or in their training when they started out. It just wasn't, you know, say 20 years ago, this idea was sort of laughable that you would plan for your pets. I remember in law school discussing it with people, and they'd sort of chuckle, well, that's sort of silly. I mean, but things have really changed rapidly. But and I give a lot of lectures to attorneys and to also to lay people to try and educate people on the need for this, because if your attorney doesn't bring it up and you're going to have your will done or trust, you should make sure that they take this seriously and have a good plan for your animals in your estate planning documents.
Now, Frances, you've been in this business a long time. Why do you think people fail to take the appropriate steps?
I think it's just lack of knowledge that there is a good way to plan for the animals. They may think that there really isn't a mechanism. They may not know about trusts, that you can create a trust for your animals. That's a relatively new phenomenon that states have been passing these statutes to allow you to create a trust where your animal is the beneficiary and your animal is taken care of for life. And I just think it's a lack of knowledge, because it's relatively new, all of this planning.
Yeah. Let's talk about money. Can animal guardians leave money in a will directly to an animal?
No. Animals are, under the law, animals are considered property. And they cannot receive money directly under the law. And, in fact, a lot of people don't like the idea of animals being property. You know, they feel they're the guardians or the caretakers of the animals. But basically, under the law, animals are property, just like a desk or a chair, and they are not... you know, they have that status, unfortunately. That needs to change, and there's a lot of people working on it. But right now, animals are property, and so there are a lot of things that can't be done to help them. But fortunately, they can be trust beneficiaries now, and that's a relatively new phenomena, and it's a wonderful estate planning tool for their care.
Now, I know I'm using the term guardian to describe the expanded relationship we have with our companion animals, but just to clarify, the law does not really recognize guardian. It recognizes legal owner, right?
Right. A guardian, the technical term for a guardian is someone who is appointed to take care of another human who is incapacitated, and the court appoints a guardian to take care of that human. We cannot appoint guardians to take care of animals. So legally under the law, you're not the guardian of your animal. You're really the owner of your animal, because it's property, unfortunately. So
right.
We don't. I try to keep the terms clear because I don't want to confuse things.
Right.
So there's the pet owner owns the animal. Then there. If you set up a pet trust for your animal, then you will have a trustee in charge of that animal. And maybe you would have a caregiver or caretaker who would take care of that animal. So those are two separate roles for the care of the animal.
Got it. And we're going to get to trusts in a minute. Part of estate planning for animals involves having people named who are willing to participate. What if the client has no friends or relatives willing to be responsible?
Yes. One method... probably the simplest method of planning in your will or your trust for your animal is to say, I give my animals and the sum of so and such and such to my friend or my sister so and so, and to take care of this animal for life. And that's an outright bequest. So that person gets the animal and the money and takes the animal. Now, a lot of people don't have someone. They don't have anyone. They're elderly. Their friends have passed away. Their family members cannot take the animal if they have family members. So they come to me and say, what can I do? Well, one thing is you could create a pet trust. But let's talk about they want something simpler. They can search for a good local animal rescue charity, I tell them, and get to know that charity. And say it's a cat rescue charity or a dog rescue charity, and then make arrangements with that charity and say, I'm going to leave you a certain amount of my will. I want you to find a really good home for my animal and have an arrangement with that charity to take the animal and to find a home for the animal. So that's one possibility.
Frances, let's assume that's the case. How much money is generally needed to leave to a charity, and when is it given?
Well, it would be given in the will, usually. It would be a legacy to the charity, along with the animal. And it can be any amount, but some of the charities that that do this routinely. For example, in New York, the ASPCA does this as a service to some of its supporters, and I believe they require $15,000 to take an animal and place it in a new home. I believe North Shore Animal League has a similar fee. So that's about a ballpark figure. Some people want to leave more, and you may be able to make an arrangements with a smaller rescue group to take less if you don't have the money, that much money to give. But $15,000, $20,000, that's a ballpark figure.
Yeah. Don't go away. We're speaking with Frances Carlisle about estate planning for the care of animals.
If you're like most people, you have lots of plans. A financial plan, an eating plan, an exercise plan, a career plan. You also need a plan for the care of your pets when you're no longer able to provide it. Every day, animals are sent to shelters, terrified and confused, or they're euthanized because their owners have become incapacitated or died. Some people don't give the future a thought. Others assume family members will care for their pets. A better way is to name caregivers and provide detailed instructions about your pal's feeding, play, social, and health care needs. But even family and designated caregivers don't guarantee that pets will have a home. Good intentions sometimes take a backseat to life's realities, such as a new spouse who doesn't like animals, a sudden desire to travel the world, or the adoptive caregiver's own infirmity. A legally enforceable pet trust offers the only assurance that your assets will be used as you wish to provide for the comfort and care of cherished animal companions. More than 40 states recognize pet trusts. Check with your attorney, accountant, or state legislator to see if yours does and how to create one. Animals Today urges you to plan for your pet's lifelong well-being. Take steps today so he or she doesn't risk becoming yet another sad shelter statistic.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from the animal welfare organization Advancing the Interests of Animals. Do you ever wonder what you can do to be nicer to animals or to help them? Here are a few things you can do to show your appreciation to our furry friends. You could donate to or volunteer at your local animal shelter. Walking the dogs and playing with the cats is a meaningful way to make a difference in the lives of homeless animals. You could be a foster parent. If you have the extra time and space, becoming a foster parent is a wonderful way to take some of the burden off our overcrowded shelters by giving an animal a loving place to live until their forever home is found. Increase your appreciation for wildlife by providing a welcoming space for butterflies, hummingbirds, and other creatures, or by simply driving cautiously through areas populated by wild animals such as deer. You are acting with compassion. These are only a few ideas to encourage you to continue thinking about your personal kindness towards animals. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us online at aianimals.org.
Hey there! Do you have a yellow light on your car right now? Are you afraid to stop and pull over and go to a garage or a dealership because that yellow light means it might cost you a lot of money? Well, I have the perfect solution. How would you like to be able to know what's wrong with your car? When that little yellow light is on, you know what it could mean? It could mean something just as simple as, well, I gotta tighten my gas cap. I'm not kidding you. We have the perfect solution so that you can do what the dealers do and what the garages do. The U-Scan Vehicle Diagnostic. It was developed by the global leader in professional diagnostic scan tools and also provides essential information so that you can diagnose your vehicle fast and save you money. You heard me right. Save you money. It's called the U-Scan Vehicle Diagnostic, and it's featured on MyCoolGadgets.com. You can perform a quick check to diagnose and reset your check engine light. You can view your emission status, read the code definitions that all garages and all dealerships use to find out what's wrong with your vehicle. How would you like to have this so that it literally attaches right to your smartphone? Your smartphone then gets all the information from the computers that are on board your car, your truck, your van, any vehicle after 1996 when they were produced. They had all these incredible computers to be able to monitor what's going on in your car. Well, the U-Scan Vehicle Diagnostic reads every single one of them. If you'd like to get one of these, don't wait. Call us right now because we have a special offer. Normally, they're $299. But on MyCoolGadgets.com, only $99. $99. It could save you thousands of dollars. Call now. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to MyCoolGadgets.com. That's MyCoolGadgets.com. Don't let that little yellow light keep you scared. Now you're going to know, just like the professionals, with the U-Scan Vehicle Diagnostic at MyCoolGadgets.com.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Welcome back to Animals. Today we're speaking with Frances Carlisle about estate planning for the care of animals. Frances, let's now talk about creating a trust for animal care after their guardian or their owner, dies. How does a trust operate, and how is it different than simply naming a person to take care of your animals should you die?
A pet, it's called a pet trust, and the pet trust operates very similar to a trust you might have for human beneficiaries, for example, a trust for children. Basically, in your will or your overall trust document, which serves as a will, you create a trust, and you name a trustee who would be trustee of the pet trust, and that trustee would then, once the trust is in effect, would collect the money that's going into the trust. You determine how much money you want to go into the pet trust, and they would take that money, put it in a separate trust account. They would arrange for the animal to go to the home of a caretaker where the animal would be cared for, or in some cases the trustee takes the animal into their own home. It just depends if the trustee wants to do that. But often it's a separate caretaker. The trustee may pay that caretaker a little salary for taking care of the animal. The trustee will check on the animal several times a year, hopefully, and move the animal if the animal is not doing well. The trustee will pay for all of the expenses of care of the animal from the trust fund, the trust account. For example, they'll pay for the veterinary bills. They'll pay for food and grooming and litter, whatever the costs are. They will pay for everything for the animals, and that way the caretaker has no expenses in connection with the animal and maybe getting a salary as well. And if something happens to the trustee, there would be an alternate trustee named to take over. And the court would appoint a new trustee if all the trustees named in the trust document were gone, then the court would appoint another trustee. So there'll always be someone available to care for that animal during the animal's life.
What happens if the caretaker moves out of the state? Do new legal documents have to be written up?
No. The same document works. The trustee is still in charge, and the trustee would then make a determination if the animal is doing very well with that caretaker and is happy in the home, doing well, then the trustee may say, fine, you can move out of state, and, you know, maybe I'll only check on you once in a while, or we'll do video chats or something, and we'll see how I'll talk to the vet, and we'll see how the animal's doing. But it's really up to the trustee. The trustee is ultimate authority, and that's why I tell my clients it's very important to select the right person to be trustee, somebody who's, you know, organized and can handle accounts and pay bills and is honest, but also somebody who cares about animals and will take an interest in doing the right by the animals.
Yeah, very good. And what if the animal dies and there's still money remaining in the trust for the care of the animal? What happens to that money?
Well, every trust should have what we call a trust remainderman, and that means the person or entity that takes the money when the life beneficiary dies, and the animals are the life beneficiaries. So, and that way you can put enough in the trust, and you don't care, you know, you make sure there's enough for the animals, but if there's some left over, you're not worried about it because it's going to go to the trust remainderman. Now, often in pet trusts, the trust remainderman might be a charity, like an animal rescue charity.
Yeah.
So whatever's left over would go to the charity. It could also, the remainderman could also be an individual or individuals. But I sort of like the idea of naming a charity, because if you name a family member, maybe they're, you know, not too thrilled about having this much money go into a trust for the animals, whereas the charities understand the costs of caring for animals.
How do the pet trusts mesh with the rest of the estate plan if you're not the lawyer doing the entire estate plan?
Well, it has to mesh, and it's really best to have one lawyer doing your entire estate plan, including your pet trust. And a pet trust can be either done as part of the will, under the will, can be a separate trust under the will, or it can be a separate document altogether called an inter vivos pet trust. It can be either one. Now, if the attorney doing the general overall estate plan is not familiar with pet trusts, and then he or she could work with a specialist in pet trusts, and they could do the plan together. But, you know, it has to work out, because the money has to be looked at. How is the pet trust going to be funded? Is it going to be funded from the will? Is it going to be funded from a life insurance policy or a 401k? How is this all going to work together? So it does have to mesh, and the lawyers have to work together, or one lawyer has to do it all.
Frances, what if the caretaker thinks she or he needs more money to care for the animal? Can they go to the trustee and appeal for more money?
Well, the caregiver can go to the trustee and say, hey, I'm doing all this work, and this animal takes a lot more work because I have to take it to the vet every week, or I have to give it shots or whatever. And the trustee, it's really up to the trustee. And if it's a good caregiver, then the trustee may increase the salary. So it's really, that's the trustee's choice. Basically, the trustee is stepping into the shoes of the pet owner after the pet owner dies. So the trustee is making decisions sort of like the pet owner would make. What's in the best interests of the animal?
Can a pet trust receive assets other than money?
Yes, it can. And some of the most interesting clients I have put their residences into a pet trust. Now, that seems strange, but they have reasons to do it. For example, I have one client who has a farm upstate. He rescues horses, and he has also a lot of rescued farm animals, goats and chickens, and as well as dogs and cats. And there are so many animals, it would be very difficult to find caregivers for all of these animals. So he has put his small farm into the pet trust, along with enough money to pay for all the expenses of maintaining the farmhouse and barn, paying the property taxes, paying a caregiver to live on the property, and paying for the vet care and other expenses of the animals. And that way, that will go for the lives of the animals, and then the property will be sold, and it will go on to a charity. So that way he's covered everything, and nobody has to be moved. You know, it's a good idea. And I have other clients that have done that. I have some clients who are rescuers, some rescue cats that have been feral cats. They're a little difficult maybe to place. Some people have pit bulls, a lot of pit bulls, and there also can be a little, even though they're wonderful dogs, they're a little bit difficult to place. And so if we put a small residence, or we have the trust rent or buy a little residence, maybe up in the country where things are inexpensive, all the animals can live together with a caretaker, and that's a really can be a really good plan for those animals.
Don't go away. You're listening to Animals Today. We're speaking to Frances Carlisle about estate planning for the care of our animals. You're listening to Animals Today.
Hey there! Do you have a yellow light on your car right now? Are you afraid to stop and pull over and go to a garage or a dealership because that yellow light means it might cost you a lot of money? Well, I have the perfect solution. How would you like to be able to know what's wrong with your car? When that little yellow light is on, you know what it could mean? It could mean something just as simple as, well, I gotta tighten my gas cap. I'm not kidding you. We have the perfect solution so that you can do what the dealers do and what the garages do. The U-Scan Vehicle Diagnostic. It was developed by the global leader in professional diagnostic scan tools. and also provides the essential information so that you can diagnose your vehicle fast and save you money. You heard me right. Save you money. It's called the U-Scan Vehicle Diagnostic, and it's featured on MyCoolGadgets.com. You can perform a quick check to diagnose and reset your check engine light. You can view your emission status, read the code definitions that all garages and all dealerships use to find out what's wrong with your vehicle. How would you like to have this so that it literally attaches right to your smartphone? Your smartphone then gets all the information from the computers that are on board your car, your truck, your van. Any vehicle after 1996, when they were produced, they had all these incredible computers to be able to monitor what's going on in your car. Well, the U-Scan Vehicle Diagnostic reads every single one of them. If you'd like to get one of these, don't wait. Call us right now because we have a special offer. Normally, they're $299, but on MyCoolGadgets.com, only $99. $99. It could save you thousands of dollars. Call now. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Or go to MyCoolGadgets.com. That's MyCoolGadgets.com. Don't let that little yellow light keep you scared. Now you're going to know, just like the professionals, with the U-Scan Vehicle Diagnostic at MyCoolGadgets.com.
Attention invention lovers, join our Invention Testing Da Vinci Club. We're looking for 100 people to receive an invention every single month. You fill out a little questionnaire, you get to keep the invention. We need your input on the newest American invention. Sometimes it's a tablet, sometimes it's a garlic cutter, whatever we get. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Join our Da Vinci Club. MyCoolInventions.com is looking for invention testers, 100 special people who will analyze and look at inventions and give us a little feedback. Call 1-888-877-0490. Go to MyCoolInventions.com. Join our Da Vinci Club. Be one of the first 100 invention testers. 1-888-877-0490 or go to MyCoolInventions.com.
Do you got any ideas?
I have a great idea.
Pitch it to me.
Hey, I got an idea. Well, let's hear it.
Successful businesses start with great ideas and cool inventions. Hi, everybody. I'm John Cremins, the doctor of Shopology. Join me and ACOS the Solutionist on My Cool Inventions every week. We continue our ongoing search for America's top invention. You can be the next one. Together, both ACOS and myself provide over 60 years of experience in the industry of inventing products and presenting them on shopping channels worldwide. Every show, we give our advice on how to successfully produce your product. Along with great information and featured industry guests, you'll also get a chance to listen to the inventors of some of the coolest inventions and vote on which projects you like. You be the shark. Now, if you have a $1 million idea in your head, submit it to us, and you can be selected to be on our show for your chance to be voted America's top invention. It's true reality radio, where you decide and regular American families like yours are lifted one innovation, one inventor, one American at a time.
Here's the problem. Home security systems are expensive and you pay month after month for peace of mind. Well, forget about it. The Activator Security Systems, recently spy versus spy, recently declassified military technology, and it's so easy to use. You take the Activator, you plug it into any wall outlet of your house, and in 30 seconds, it maps out your house. It knows every door, every floor, every window. It's like, Scotty, put the shields up. You plug a light into it, lights will turn on, stereos will turn on. It's the most awesome item. Normally, the Activator Security System sells for $80, but today, $59.99, and the first 50 callers are going to get a second one for free. That's two activators, still only $59.99. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490, or go to MyCoolGadgets.com.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
Frances Carlisle, at this point, let's talk about the queen of mean, Leona Helmsley, and her dog, Trouble. She left millions to her dog. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Leona Helmsley, who loved dogs, I have to say, I give her a lot of credit for that. She set up a pet trust for her little dog. She had a little, I think it was a Maltese named Trouble, and she put $12 million into that trust for the dog. Now, there was a lot of publicity about that, a lot of negative publicity about it, and it actually was not a good idea to put that much money in because the dog started receiving death threats and dog napping threats, and it was so bad that the little dog had to be hustled out of her Connecticut home and flown to a secret location under an assumed name. And they had to hire round-the-clock security to take care of the dog, which was very expensive. Anyway, it was not a good idea to put that amount of money in the trust. And in fact, the amount was reduced by the court to $2 million. And it wasn't reduced because the court said it was too much. It was actually reduced because the executors realized that there would be about a $5 million estate tax bill if they left it at $12 million. So they reduced it to $2 million, and that reduced the estate tax bill to zero. And $2 million, of course, is plenty of money to take care of one little dog. But I tell my clients, let's figure out the amount. Let's leave a modest amount, a reasonable amount for the care of animals. You don't need to leave so much money. We want to make sure we have plenty for whatever is needed for the animal, but we don't need to leave millions in a pet trust.
And a lot of that money went to protecting the dog.
Yes, it ended up, the round-the-clock security was the big ticket item in that trust.
Wow, and I think
the dog did pass away in 2010, and I think it had a pretty good life until it did pass away.
Right, and I think I remember Leona didn't leave anything to her kids.
No, I think she did. She did leave some, but she left the bulk of her estate to the Helmsley Charitable Trust, which was a huge, billions of dollars went to a charitable trust, and she actually had a mission statement that she wanted a lot of that money to go for dogs, to rescue dogs and help dogs, but the trustees have gotten around that, and they're using it for general charitable purposes.
Very good. We've been talking about estate planning for the continuing care of a pet after the death of the owner. But should there be any preparation for emergencies, such as the hospitalization of the owner of the animal?
Absolutely. Absolutely. For one thing, I have all my clients sign a power of attorney so that the agent they appoint has access to funds to pay for veterinary care and other expenses of caring for the animals if the owner is capacitated for any length of time. And also, I tell my clients to make sure that someone has authority to enter the house and feed and care for the animals on an emergency basis or maybe even a long-term basis, because if someone's hospitalized, then they're going to need that care immediately. A lot of my clients carry a card in their wallets with the name and address of the person who's going to care for those dogs and cats so they can be contacted, that person can be contacted and start to care for those animals immediately. So definitely you need a lot of planning for the periods of incapacity.
Such a great idea. Francis, friends of ours just rescued a middle-aged African tortoise, and this tortoise will probably outlive them both since she might live to 150 years or more. What are the challenges in estate planning when you're talking about animals with very long lives?
Well, there are a lot of challenges, and some of my clients have parrots, which can live 80 or 90 years, and of course, even horses live, 30, 40 years. So there are animals that can live a long time, and they present a little bit of a challenge. You can create a pet trust for these animals, of course, but the worry is that the animals will outlive the trustee, who's the one, in charge of their care. But the key is to have several alternate trustees named in the trust document. So, if this person passes away or resigns, then this other person takes the trustee's place and so on. And you would want at least some younger people listed there, and then maybe a mechanism for an alternate trustee. If all of the named trustees have passed away, then you could say, for example, you could say that the board of directors of this charity is going to select the right person to be trustee if there's no trustee acting. So maybe it would be with the turtle, maybe it would be a charity that specializes in that species of animals. But there are creative ways to make sure that those animals are cared for life. Alternatively, some of clients decide that they want, instead of the pet trust, or in addition to the pet trust, they will want the animal to go to an animal sanctuary for life, because there are sanctuaries that take care of, say, parrots and other different species of animals. And there's sanctuaries that have been in existence a long time and that are well run, and the animal can go and live at the sanctuary for life. You do want to check them out, though, to make sure it's good and it's well funded and it's going to last and be around a long time before you make that commitment to send your animal to a sanctuary after you die.
Do you find that people who buy or adopt parrots or tortoises fail to take their long lives into consideration when they first acquire the animals?
Well, there's a lot of impulse buying, of course, but a lot of people do know that they live a long time and are concerned about it. And I have a number of clients who have parrots and have done extensive planning for those animals.
So, Frances, do you want to share with us a recent case that you handled?
Sure. One that really tugged at my heartstrings was the case I heard about, a case of these two elderly women who had been rescuing cats all their lives in Brooklyn. And they had a big house, and it was filled with cats, and they were, you know, doing a great job taking care of all these cats. There might have been 40 or 50 cats. But both of them were sick. Both of the women were sick. And one was in the hospital or in a nursing home, and the other one was going into the hospital very seriously ill. And they had made no plan for these animals. So a neighbor alerted me, and I was able to quickly do some documents, and they were competent to sign these documents, but have money go to a really good rescue charity upstate that had a little house on their property. And the arrangement was made that this the neighbor actually knew all about this charity and helped with this greatly, that when they passed away, all these animals would go up to this charity, and they would all live together in this little house. And fortunately, there was enough money that these two ladies had that all of this could be paid for, and the charity wouldn't be out money, and they would have enough to care for these animals for the rest of their lives. And so that was something that was done that, if it had not been done, there would have been, you know, close to 50 cats, a lot of them elderly, with really nowhere to go and no money to help in their placement. So I was glad I was able to do it. I didn't charge them just because I wanted it done, because I hate to see the rescue groups in New York burdened any more than they are, because there are not enough homes for all of the animals that there are. So, you know, with this planning, everything was fine. Without the planning, it would have been a disaster.
Very good story. Frances, what is the most important thing you could tell our listeners who love their companion animals?
Well, the important thing is to start thinking about what a plan for your animals. Take the first step and think about what you would want to happen to your animals, and then seek out somebody, an attorney, who can help you implement that plan, and somebody who has a concern for animals and an interest in this area of the law. And then you will be doing right by your animals.
Trusts and Estates Attorney Frances Carlisle, thank you for giving us this important information.
Thank you.
picture when it turned back time. You go strolling through the crowd like Pete DeLauro contemplating a crime.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from Advancing the Interests of Animals. And here are a few more ways you can be kind to animals, beginning with this. Report suspected animal abuse or neglect. If you see an underfed dog or an animal left in a car on a hot day, report it right away. You could be saving a life. Try a vegetarian diet, even just for a week. Decreasing and then stopping consumption of animals is probably the best way to show your appreciation for them and for the environment, too. Don't buy cosmetics or household products that have been tested on animals. That's easy these days. And finally, don't wear clothing made from animals. Begin by saying no to fur and gradually give up animal products like leather and wool. It's easier than you might imagine. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org.
Here's the problem. Nail polish, hair dye, graffiti, tar. How do you get those stains out? Use Stains Are Out. Any stain, anywhere. Nail polish, oil, lipstick, pet stains, old stains, any stains. This will get your stain out. In fact, if it doesn't get your stain out, we'll buy the bottle back from you. Made with natural banana oil. Oil from the skin of a banana. Biodegradable and organic. Stains Are Out is the solution. Pour it on and get your stain out. Normally, bottle of Stains Are Out sells for $29.99. Hyper-concentrated, each bottle will make 16 bottles of stain remover. $29.99 for 16 bottles of dilution. And here's the deal. If you buy a bottle of Stains Are Out right now, we'll give you three bottles. That's 48 bottles worth. That's the deal. Buy one, get three bottles for $29.99. Call 1-888-877-0490 or go to mycoolgadgets.com.
You got any ideas?
I have a great idea.
Pitch it to me. Pitch it to me.
Hey, I got an idea. Well, let's hear it.
Successful businesses start with great ideas and cool inventions. Hi, everybody. I'm John Cremins, the Doctor of Shopology. Join me and ACOS the Solutionist on My Cool Inventions every week. We continue our ongoing search for America's top invention. You can be the next one. Together, both ACOS and myself provide over 60 years of experience in the industry of inventing products and presenting them on shopping channels worldwide. Every show, we give our advice on how to successfully produce your product. Along with great information and featured industry guests, you'll also get a chance to listen to the inventors of some of the coolest inventions and vote on which projects you like. You be the shark. Now, if you have a $1 million idea in your head, submit it to us, and you can be selected to be on our show for your chance to be voted America's top invention. It's true reality radio, where you decide and regular American families like yours are lifted one innovation, one inventor, one American at a time.
This is Dave Shistokas with some very important information for business owners and nonprofit managers in the U.S. Gulf Coast area. Were you in operation at the time of the BP oil spill in April 2010? There's a very short period until June 8th to file a claim in the BP settlement. There are misunderstandings about the settlement. Organizations located well inland, unrelated to tourism or hospitality, are eligible, and there's no need to show that the oil spill was related to their damages. There's no dollar limits on claims to be paid under the settlement. BP is legally bound to pay all valid claims. Call me, Dave Shistokas, for a free evaluation of your potential claim at 312-451-5550. Any claim not filed by June 8th will be gone forever. There's no cost to find out about your eligibility at 312-451-5550 or visit shistokas.com for more. It's S-H-E-S-T-O-K-A-S.com. It takes time to properly prepare a claim, so quick action is critical.
Attention invention lovers, join our Invention Testing Da Vinci Club. We're looking for 100 people to receive an invention every single month. You fill out a little questionnaire, you get to keep the invention. We need your input on the newest American invention. Sometimes it's a tablet, sometimes it's a garlic cutter, whatever we get. Call 1-888-877-0490. That's 1-888-877-0490. Join our Da Vinci Club. MyCoolInventions.com is looking for invention testers. 100 special people who will analyze and look at inventions and give us a little feedback. Call 1-888-877-0490. Go to mycoolinventions.com. Join our Da Vinci Club. Be one of the first 100 invention testers. 1-888-877-0490 or go to mycoolinventions.com.
You're listening to America's Talk Radio Network, where America talks.
You know, animals are abused and exploited in a variety of forms of entertainment for the purpose of human amusement and profit. I mean, take marine parks, or roadside zoos and aquariums, movie and television sets. You know, animals are also exploited and mistreated for human amusement in horse and greyhound racing, cockfighting, dogfighting, and you can even look in shopping malls and schools or Las Vegas casinos where they're put on public display. Exotic animals are often used in photo opportunities, or they're shot and killed in the canned hunts that we see or the hunting ranches. Yeah, unfortunately, people can be very creative in finding ways to make a profit off of other animals. You know, I was in Santa Fe, New Mexico, a few years back, vacation. Actually, I was on a road trip with my husband and my three dogs, and we were strolling up and down the streets, and several street performers were out there, you know, with their hats for tips, and we saw the various guitar players and the cool dancers, and then we saw a lot of people congregating around one area. So we went to look to see what was so interesting. We saw this guy with a cat and a mouse and a dog, okay? He was making the mouse go on top of the cat's back and then the cat go on top of the dog's back, like a pyramid, right? The dog on the bottom and the cat and the mouse on top. And the guy had a stick in his hand and would tap on the animal's back for them to jump down and do it all over again. Not only was I not amused nor entertained, but disgusted by this. All I could think about is how he had to train these three animals to do what he wanted them to do. And I didn't like to see these animals exploited so he could make a living. And the fact that people were entertained by this and amused by this annoyed me even more. I was thinking at the time, why the hell am I the only one that did not find myself amused by what's going on here? Today we're going to specifically speak about animals used in circuses. In China, you know, just when it seemed that the Chinese had plumbed the depths of animal humiliation, along comes something even worse. Did you see or hear about the display of the 30-stone lion leaping on a horse's back while the trainer whips them to keep him moving around the ring? And the spectators sitting there applauding and completely amused by this. So, you know, the circus shows were being held during a Golden Week holiday to mark China's National Day, which is the 59th anniversary of their country. So on September 30th, 2008, in one of the nation's most notorious zoos, you have this 30-stone tiger, right? A tiger, predator of a horse, riding on the back of a terrified horse. And if you've not seen pictures of this on the Internet, my description does not remotely demonstrate the sickness behind this. Not only the sadness for the animals, but really an absolute disgust for the people responsible for this exploitation and really, in my opinion, extreme cruelty. And as far as I'm concerned, they really have lost their humanity, as have the stupid, ignorant people watching. You know, I sort of expect this primitive and medieval display from China, a country where farming and skinning dogs and cats alive for food is common. But in America, I would only hope that we are one step closer to the end of an era where animals beaten and starved to perform tricks for our amusement and someone's profit. I'm absolutely positive my parents took me and my siblings to the circus growing up, and I just don't specifically remember where and when, okay? I sort of remember, you know, the flying trapeze and the clowns and man launched from a cannon, right? And then you see the elephants or the animals, elephants on their back legs and the bears riding bikes. You know, this was 30 or more years ago, so I don't completely remember. But although human freak shows have nearly disappeared in circuses, the animals in circuses still remain, which still includes abusive training and handling practices, and the constant confinement endured by the animals, and the dangers that animal circuses pose to the public. Training methods for animals used in circuses involve varying degrees of punishment, deprivation. You know, animals perform not because they want to, but because they're afraid not to. And in the United States, by the way, no government agency monitors these animal training sessions. But this is the good news, okay? Circuses that use animals have been struggling and are becoming less popular. And as people learn more wild, about these wild animals and how complex their physical and emotional needs are, the public is not so intrigued anymore, and really they don't want to attend. The trend in circus entertainment has really been shifting away from the use of animals, as evidenced by the hugely successful Cirque du Soleil. Remember, this is the Montreal-based circus founded by two street performers in 1984, and they feature only human performers and basically focusing on gymnastic abilities and these, you know, agile performances, and you get the dramatic costumes and lighting effects. I mean, it makes for a great entertaining show without the need of animals.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for listening to Animals Today. Make sure to visit us on animalstodayradio.com, where you will see all our previous shows and where you can download them free. That's animalstodayradio.com, or you can listen on iTunes. Also, make sure to like us on Facebook and join the discussion. Animals Today gets a lot of its support from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit them at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org. And I hope you'll consider making a donation to help pay for the ongoing broadcast of Animals Today. Each week on Animals Today, we strive to bring you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animals, how we treat them, and their place in society, while promoting greater respect and kindness towards them. So thanks for your support. That website again is aianimals.org. And thanks for listening. Animals Today Radio is made possible in part by a generous grant from International Society for Animal Rights, ISARonline.org.